Welcome to the Bugcast, episode 8.
Hi, good evening. It is Friday the 25th of April. It's 10:30, pretty much on the dot. Welcome along to the Bugcast episode 8. Thanks very much to Ian for introducing the show this evening. Just another reminder that if you want to submit your own intros for the show, I need intros now for episodes 11 onwards. I've got one for next week. I'm doing episode 10 myself because it's quite a landmark episode going into double figures, so I'm going to do that one. But after that, I have nothing. So even if you've done an introduction before, please put another one in. It's really not a problem. For those of you who don't want to hear your own voice on the show, it doesn't necessarily have to be you. You get your dog to do it, or anything you like. Just something that introduces the show, just for a bit of variety. Okay, that song was from Amplifico. You remember I played one of their tracks in episode 4. Loved them so much, I thought I'd bring them back again. Really good track called Flutter. Right, the first thing I want to talk about this evening actually tags onto the back of a journal entry, no surprises there, that Caroline made on this occasion. I'm not going to read it out. basically, it's to do with when Caroline was working on, what day was this, 23rd, which was Wednesday. So when Caroline was working on Tuesday, she had a phone call from her mum, who was looking after Amy on Tuesday. And she said that she'd gone down to the playgroup, the local playgroup, with Amy. And one of the girls there was absolutely covered in chickenpox. Caroline's mum said, "Look, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to stay. Yeah, so it's not fair to be around this child who's got chickenpox." The mum of the girl who had the chickenpox and a number of other mums said, "Well, it's best if kids get it young." Caroline's mum said, "No, I'm sorry," and left. Now, Caroline fully supports her mum's decision. I fully support her mum's decision. But who was it? Further on down the entry, it says that we know that some parents actively try and get their kids infected with chickenpox when they're young. Now, this is the first I've heard of that, so I thought I'd look into it. I looked on one of my favourite websites, the good old Wikipedia, and looked up the very nicely named Pox Party. And according to Wikipedia, a pox party is a party held by parents for the purpose of infecting their children with childhood diseases. Specifically chickenpox. Similar ideas have applied to other diseases such as measles, but are now strongly discouraged by doctors and health services. The reasoning behind this now largely historical practice is that guests are exposed to the varicella virus, which is the one that is in chickenpox, and contract the disease through developing strong and persistent immunity in a young age, as children often have a milder course of the disease than adults. And then it goes on about the shingles being the recurrence of the virus in later age. But I don't know. It just sounds wrong to me to put a handful of children in a room with one that they know is infected in the hope that they actually catch this disease. I can see the practical side of it, that, yeah, they'll get the disease early and it'll be gone with and they'll be immune. It just sounds wrong. Let me just quickly gloss over another article on Wikipedia, which is actually called Chickenpox Party. Now, I'm guessing that these actually should be this part of the same article. But a chickenpox party is a gathering of non-varicella vaccinated children and one or more children suffering chickenpox. Non-vaccinated and infected children are encouraged to share lollipops and spoons in attempts to transfer the virus. No. I'm sorry, that is just absolutely and totally wrong. My mother-in-law refused to stay at that playgroup, and I am fully and totally behind her. Like I say, I understand the practical behind it, but I don't want to intentionally expose my daughter to an illness on purpose. It's not a nice illness. If she gets it, she gets it. And I know she's going to get it. But I don't want to intentionally go there and give it to her. It just doesn't sound right at all to me. Not right at all. That was a short one. what else have we got? Oh, right, okay. It actually seems as though we've got a song coming up now. And a lot more chat after it. So this is 46 Bliss, and the track is called In a Long Time.
I saw stars around your feet once, little lights like fish you swim in. Took off your hat, you turned your chin in. Time stood still on St. Mark's Place. We walked up through hills at times like this and times like those. We felt the heat of all the years. I filled my head and spilled
Was a rather good song. I hadn't actually listened to that all the way through when I was picking songs for this show, and no, that was good. That was good. The songs that are being played in this episode of the Bugcast are taken from the Podsafe Music Network, which you can reach at music.podshow.com. Although that address will probably change soon because Podshow is now called Mevio. Don't ask me why. Quite a few episodes ago, a couple of people made reference to John Peel in the same sentence as referring to this show. And I've always denied that I'm even attempting to put myself in John Peel's shoes by trying to put unknown bands into common play. And I'm going to announce something in this show, which I think a couple of you may already know or may have thought might be happening, but it is nothing to do with John Peel or anything like that. There will be a second show coming from me starting either in the first or second week of May, possibly the second week, because I want to record it and release it on a Monday, and I'm actually away on Bank Holiday Monday, so that probably won't happen. And this show will be purely music. It'll be a music radio show. the idea of that has been taken from the fact that I think I've got something daft like 14 podcasts that I listen to now on a regular basis, and only one of them is just music, and that's the Lynn Parsons Red Light Zone. So I figured, if I want to be able to listen to some music, then I'll play a show that I've put together myself, because there are quite a few music-only shows available on podcasts and different podcast directories. But because I enjoy music so much myself, I wanted to share my taste in music with other people. Now, this new show will not come to you in the same feed that you're reading this one on. It'll be a separate feed. It'll have its own website. It'll all be sorted out. I'll give you more details nearer the time. But almost all the music that is played on the new show will come from the PodSafe Music Network. The only thing I haven't decided on yet is what the show's going to be called. I had quite a long conversation with Phil at work about that one. And we threw some ideas out about, you know, how it needs to be, has to have the word bug in the title, or it has to mention music, or something like that, but I haven't decided yet. If you've got any ideas on what a music show from me would be called, then drop me an email and let me know. In addition, I've said already that there'll be a new website for this new show, but I'm going to be adding some new features to the website for this podcast, including sorry about that, including a studio tour, if you like. And no, I'm not going to be showing you pictures of the kitchen, but I'll do a very brief tutorial or guide of how I do a show on a weekly basis, which I think would be rather fun to set up, and maybe interesting for some of you to see as well. Doing a podcast like this is not difficult. It really isn't. And I do enjoy doing it, and I want to share with you how it's done. Okie dokie. Righty-ho. Let's have some of this.
You're listening to Delta Sierra Charlie,
the Daily Source Code,
with the one and only Podfather,
Adam Curry.
Brace yourself for the show that's got it all. PodSafe Music, the Lady Patricia, and of course, your host, Adam Curry.
That seems more like a jingle than a promotion, but it's the only promotion that Adam actually has up on the website for this one. That is for the Daily Source Code. Adam Curry, who's widely accepted as the revolutionary, is that the right word, of podcasting, and has been dubbed the Podfather. He has a show. He has two shows, in fact. He's got the Daily Source Code, which is his own general chat, little bit of news, bit of politics if you like, and music in there as well. Very entertaining show. You can reach through a myriad of different ways, but if you go to dailysourcecode.com, I'll put the link in the show notes as well, and have a listen to that. It's really worth the listen. Okay, if you do a podcast yourself and you want to me to play a promotion for your podcast on this show, then please send me a link or an audio file to the details I'll give you at the end of the show, and you know, I may be playing you in future weeks. I know that a lot of my listeners don't have their own podcasts, but if you listen to a podcast that you think I might be interested in, send me the details. I'll check it out. If I like it, I'll promote it for you. You can be good. Righty-ho. I was speaking to Phil at work again. We do talk, you know, about how I didn't know what I was going to talk about in this show. I mean, last night I had almost everything ready. I had my playlist ready, all the music, everything was in place. The playlists for the software I used to do the podcast was all ready, but I didn't have anything to talk about. And Phil's made up for that with this War and Peace email that he sent me this afternoon. So let's get on to that. So I have had a few bits of feedback this week. Three emails, a text message, and yep, that's it. So let's start, as we always do, with our most regular contributor, which is Leonie from West Suffolk. Hey ho, another good show, and great to hear you getting recognition from the dumbed down life. I'm pretty much foobar from doing a 4-mile charity walk earlier today, so I'll try not to rattle on too much. You're right, you know, when it comes to tragic deaths like Mark Spate and other terrible events, the lack of respect shown these days is horrifying. People have lost touch with their compassion for other people's suffering, and it makes me wonder where we as a race can go next. Back towards kindness, I hope. And you're spot on about the paedophile email address thing. Most people have more than one email address. I have 5, 3 of which I use regularly. It's not difficult to have at least 2 addresses on the go at any one time. I have different functions for each address. Anyway, keep on trucking. Your regular correspondent, Leonie, News at 10, West Suffolk. Thank you, Leonie. Yeah, thanks for giving your thoughts on that. Oh, that was my mobile phone. Sorry about that. Second email is from Janet from Worcestershire. Hi, on the internet of internet safety, I totally agree with you that children ought to be taught how to use the internet properly and to be aware that things are not always what they seem and that it is the responsibility of parents, teachers, etc. to show the way. Unfortunately, however much children are taught what is right, it's not always what they will do. They all know the dangers of driving too fast, smoking and drinking to excess, but they still do it. As we all did when we were their age. Excuse me. The internet is a wonderful, awe-inspiring thing which can be used and abused. The technology which is so brilliant has let in the undesirables who use it for their own nasty ends. I think that much more can and should be done to protect children and other not-so-savvy adults from the dangers. If there are such clever people out there who can abuse the system, there must be so many more with the knowledge to stop them. Now, that pretty much hits the nail on the head, Mum. I think it really is a case that there is a lot that we could do as individuals and as authority figures to do a lot to make the internet a safer place. On a more general note, I did get a text message from Mum an hour ago saying, good luck with number 8, busy weekend, we'll listen Monday. Loved your comments last week, love you. Thank you. Very nice indeed. Sorry again about the constant coughing and croaking. On Wednesday I sounded like Barry White, so this is probably an improvement. Sorry. So, yes, this War and Peace essay that Phil sent me this afternoon after we had a chat at lunchtime. Hi Dave, just thought I'd drop you a line regarding a subject that you raised last week, kids on the internet. I think that the major causes of the problems are media-induced fear and the newness of the internet. Parents today are constantly being told that if they let their child out of their sight for 1 second, he or she will be abducted, molested and or murdered. And, if they're lucky to avoid all that, they'll get caught up with drugs, alcohol and hoodie-wearing gangs. Take, for example, the case of the 6-year-old who was abducted from her bath in Newcastle-upon-Tyne in December 2005 and found half an hour later. Because we now have 24/7 instant communication technology, this case was headline news on websites and probably television by the time she was found. 20 years ago, this story would have never been seen by 95% of the British population and would probably have warranted a small piece in a local newspaper. Government statistics prove that children today are as safe as they were 50 years ago. The only thing that has changed is our perception of their safety, largely caused by our virtually unlimited access to, in quotes, news. As a result, over the last 50 years, the average distance from home that a child is allowed to roam unsupervised has dropped from over a mile to almost zero. Parents keep their children inside, where modern technology can keep them entertained and supposedly safe. Unfortunately for most parents, they don't understand the modern technology the kids are now playing with. Most parents grew up in an unconnected world where strangers could be taken more or less at face value because you could see their face. A 45-year-old man could not pretend to be a 14-year-old girl because you could see him. They don't understand a world where you can interact anonymously with anyone on the planet. They believe that if their children are at home with them, then they are safe from the evils of the modern world. They don't see the dangers, so they don't teach their children about them. And children, being children, will trust anyone, especially someone who was cool enough to use the same technologies as them. If his or her parents don't understand Facebook, for example, why should an 8-year-old even consider the possibility that other adults do? What we need is an education program similar to the Stranger Danger and Don't Play on Railway Lines programs that I can remember from my own childhood in the mid-80s. We need parents to understand the online world and the dangers it poses, but we won't achieve that using the current climate of fear tactics employed by the media. The past is seen as a time where children could trust each other and adults. The present is a time where no one is to be trusted. What we need is a sensible solution that addresses the actual realities of life and teaches children to safely judge for themselves who to trust. I just don't know what that solution is yet. Phil, that was absolutely fantastic email. It was really, really good of you to put that down on paper for me and allow me to read that out. But to be honest with you, I think everything you've said there, I fully agree with you. I do understand exactly where you're coming from with that, and hopefully the other people listening to this will do as well. Okay, so thank you for all your feedback this week. Sorry, I'm not as organised as I normally am. We're up to another song, and this song is by Matthew Ebel, or Abel, and the track is called Drive Away.
There was a time when nothing stood in between us. Now there's a curve in the road so sharp it'll make you bleed. Can't find each other in the same old gridlock. Maybe a little escape, what we need. Living your love and your work like a dog every morning. The city's a pain like the latte stain on your dress. Get in the van before you break down. It don't cost a dime to leave this town. Get on the road cause we gotta get out of this mess. Granted, a bump in the road, not really a part of the drive. Come on, Kawana, it's alright. You made me believe tonight. It's love that makes it so damn good to be alive. Oh, so let's drive away. Let the sunlight chase us all day. Coffee shops and the bar. Maybe, maybe it's too late. Maybe, baby, it's just fate. Maybe you'll take my hand and we'll get in the car. Whoa, whoa, whoa. So let's drive away. Let the sunlight chase us all day. All I got to say.
I recently did a poll in my journal asking people whether they listened to the show and what they thought of it. And in fact, it wasn't actually that poll. I've just realised it was a different meme I did. And somebody, I think it was Ian, asked me a question about the show, which I haven't answered yet. Sorry, Ian. And I was just wondering, as part of these new features that I'm going to put on the website, it'd be nice to have something on there that you guys can ask a question about the show, and I'll answer it on the page, so that other people who are revisiting the site can find out more about the show from the people who listen to it, if that makes sense. So drop me your thoughts, drop me your questions. You can get in contact with the show in the normal way by sending me an email to bugcast@thelovebug.org. You can visit the website directly at bugcast.thelovebug.org, and you can also send through a voice message to 020 80 99 1550. That's 020 80 99 1550. So all that really remains is for me to say thank you very much for joining me, thanks for your company this evening, and hopefully we'll speak again next week. Take care.